Turn with me, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and beginning in verse number 1. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Follow me along in verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to keep, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. May God add his blessings. I want to speak to you a little while this morning on the subject, some things that time will never change. Let's pray. Father, I praise you today for your goodness and the good singing. Bless our hearts now. As we try to preach the Word of God, give us liberty, give us power, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. My friend, as you look around today, you can see how time has made a difference in our lives. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to realize that time has made a difference in the way we drive in our transportation. I'm glad this morning that I didn't have to get up and get a horse out or a buggy hitched up. I'm glad I was able to go out and crank the car up and turn the defroster on and the heat on, and the rear defroster didn't have to scrape no ice. Say amen right there. I'm glad this morning, friend, that time has made a change in our automobiles. But time has made a change in our homes. I'm glad, thank God, that I didn't have to go stoke the fire this morning. I didn't have to go get any coal and put in the furnace or the heater. I'm glad all I had to do was go to that digital thermostat and punch it a couple times, and it went from 68 to 70. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. You say, preacher, I miss them good old days. I don't know about you. But I didn't grow up that way. You may have, and you still may have to chop wood. But I'm glad today for some modern conveniences. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, yeah. But time has made a difference in us. It's made a difference in our bodies. It's made a difference in our hair. Say amen.
Amen.
All the men did. I said recently, I know what'll stop hair from falling. Do you know that? You know what will stop your hair from falling? The floor. Amen. Time's made a difference in our bodies. It's made a difference. I mean, listen, some of you today had to put your teeth in a cup last night and soak them overnight with Polident and get them out and wash them off, stick them in your mouth this morning. Say amen right there. Some of you had to get glasses over this past year. Amen. I mean, listen, sometime you look around and time has made a difference in our bodies. You don't move as fast as you used to move. I mean, listen, it's like old Billy Kelly said, that when I drop something now, when I bend over to pick it up, I look around and see if there's anything else I need to do while I'm down there. Amen? Because it's hard to get up and down. Hallelujah. Time has made a difference. But I want to tell you quickly today, there are about five things that time will never change. I'm glad this morning that time will never change certain things. Number one, notice time will never change the Scriptures. Say amen. The Bible said this in Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. The Bible goes on to say in Mark chapter 13, 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, hear me out, my words shall never pass away. My friend, let me tell you, man has tried to change the Bible to his way of thinking. Man has tried to adapt the Word of God to his way of thinking. And yet, my friend, the Bible still stands the test of time. It's still the number one bestseller. Amen. It's still, my friend, the Word of the living God. Some years ago, an old infidel by the name of Thomas Paine said this. He said, I'm going to take a knife and I'm going to dissect the Bible. And now he said that before long, he said the only Bibles that you're going to find is going to be in a museum somewhere. Well, friend, old Thomas Paine is dead and gone, and the Bible still stands. Time, my friend, will never change the Word of God. Man has attacked the Word of God. He's tried to destroy the Word of God. And yet, but the Bible still lives. Amen. Time will never change the Bible. Man walked by a blacksmith shop one day, and he asked the old blacksmith was over there, and he's hammering out a piece of metal. And he asked the blacksmith, he said, how many anvils have you wore out? And the old blacksmith said, not a single one. And then he looked over, and there was a box of hammers. He said, the anvil doesn't wear out, but the anvil wears the hammers out. And friend, you can hammer away at this book. You can try to disprove it. You can laugh at it. You can mock it. And yet, the Bible still stands forever. It's the Word of the living God. It doesn't become the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Some years ago, back in my day, these bumper stickers people used to have bumper sticker religion, you know? And one of them bumper stickers said, well, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Honey, let me tell you something. God said it, and that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, amen. It's not left up to you. The Word of God will stand the test of time. The Word of God, man's trying to attack the Bible. Time will never change its inspiration. Hear me out. Well, you mean what if the Bible said that every word of the living God, every bit of this Bible is inspired of God. That means this. It means that God breathed on it.
You're right.
Amen. It's God breathed book. You say man wrote it. Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God. God, my friend, it's God's word, not man's word. Some people say, well, it's not all God's word. Yes, it is. What about that place where the Bible said the devil said this and the devil said that? Yeah, they said, that's not God's word, that's the devil. No, sir, that's God telling on the devil. Amen. It's all the word of the living God, amen. You ought to cherish it, amen. You ought to thank God that we are in America where the Bible is free and we can listen. Most of you got four or five. Most of you got one laying on the coffee table. It's got grandma's obituary in it. It's got some roses that you had for your prom date that's crushed. You got all kind of memorabilia. Honey, what we need to do is get it off the coffee table and get it down in our heart, because there's where it's going to make a difference. Amen. The Bible, my friend, is the Word of God.
Amen.
It'll never change the inspiration. It'll never change the infallibility. This book right here, hear me out. This book right here is without error. Can I get an amen from somebody?
Amen.
There are no errors in the Word of God. You say, preacher, I don't understand. You may not understand it all, but there are no errors in the Bible. It is God's inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of the living God.
Amen.
Somebody need to wake up. Come on. I was telling the trash man this week. I had an encounter with the trash man. Amen, glory to God. He got out of the trash truck. We had a meeting with Jesus out there in the street. And son, I prayed for him. He prayed for me. And we got talking about the Bible. And we got talking about the things of God. Let me tell you something, honey. I still believe this. This book is inspired. It is infallible. It is without error. It says what it means, and it means what it says. And it's not going to change with time. It's 2017, but the Bible still remains the same. Time will never change this authority. When the man of God preaches it, it's not his words, but it's God's words. We can rest on his promises. We can trust his power. We can rely on his provision. Second of all, quickly this morning, time will never change salvation. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 said, neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. John 14, 6, hear me out now. Oh, listen to me right now. John 14, 6 said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How do you want to tell you? It's not through the Muslims. It's not through the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's not through the Mormons. It's through Jesus and Jesus alone. It's not through Mohammed. It's not through Allah. It's through Jesus. Modernist liberals have tried, as Brother Allen said this morning, they've tried to convert people without the shedding of the blood. The only way to salvation is through the blood of the Son of God. When he hung on Calvary's cross, when he gave his life, he shed his blood for the remission of sin. He paid your sin debt and my sin debt. Every sin that I ever will commit was paid for full and free on Calvary. And time will never change that. Songwriter put it, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We've got those today that mock the doctrine of the blood of Jesus. We've got those today that say it's a slaughterhouse religion. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. Unless you come by the blood-stained banner, unless you kneel beneath the cross of Christ, you'll not go to heaven. It's through the precious blood. It's always been through the blood. It'll always be through the blood. Time will never change the doctrine of the blood. Amen. Third of all, time will never change the Savior. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, and I change not. Now listen. He didn't say, my name's Frank Thacker, and I change not. Because, honey, I'm going to tell you something. I'll change. Brother Allen, I love you. But you know what, brother? We can change. Hey, oh, listen. Are y'all with me? I'm glad, Sister Gail, that I serve a God that don't change. Brother Steve, I'm glad that I serve a God that doesn't change. The Bible said in Hebrews, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I'm glad to tell you this morning, I have a God that hadn't changed his love. He still loves me when I'm up. He loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I do right. He loves me when I do wrong. He loves me, and he'll never change his love for me. Some people change on you. Y'all ever had that to happen to you? I got one or two hands. Brother Allen, I'm sure you never had nobody change. But brother, as a preacher, I've had some people, they'll come up, well, preacher, I tell you what, you're the best thing since sliced bread. And they just love you, and they'll just talk good about you. But then about a couple of weeks or a month later, they're back there putting that knife in your back, and they twist a little bit. Y'all ever had that happen? Hey, I got news for you. People will change. And if you're looking for a perfect church, let me tell you something. If you ever find it, don't join it. Because you'll mess it up. There are no perfect churches. There are no perfect Christians. There are no perfect preachers. But I want to tell you one who is. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He'll be the same tomorrow.
He's saw me through thick and thin. He's been with me every step of the way. He's never forsaken me, Brother Chip. He's not about to forsake me. He's not going to drop me. He's not going to forget me. He's not going to lose me. I'm kept by the power of God in His hands. And time will never change my Savior. He'll never change. He'll never change His love. He'll never change, my friend, His power. He's got the power to save. Listen, honey, I got news for you. You have never met such a wicked sinner that God cannot save him. I don't care how far down in the barrel you go. My God, He will never change. He has the power to save. He has the power to heal. He has the power to deliver. He's got the power to break every sin, every stronghold, every chain. He is all power. He doesn't change His love. He doesn't change His power. He doesn't change everything about Him. Let me just say this real quickly. He doesn't change His love. There's a man in your songbook by the name of George Matheson. You may have never heard of him. But he wrote a song many years ago. George Matheson was engaged to be married. George Matheson, before he and his fiancée got married, he went to the doctor. The doctor examined George Matheson and said, "Mr. Matheson, I have some bad news to tell you. You're going blind. You're going blind. In 6 months' time, you'll be totally blind." George Matheson went back to his fiancée. He says, "Honey, I got to tell you something. I just come from the doctor. We're scheduled to get married. I want you to know, the doctor said I'm going blind. 6 months' time, I'll be a blind man. You'll be married to a blind man." She said, "Blind! I don't want to marry no blind man." And called off the wedding. And old George Matheson sat down in his agony and in his grief. And he wrote the song, "Oh Love, That Will Not Let Me Go, I Rest My Weary Soul in Thee. And when all your friends turn their back on you, there's one that'll never do it, and His name is Jesus." He'll not change. I serve an unchanging God. Number four, time will never change sin. That's a good place to say amen right there. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Society in 2017, listen, I grew up in a day when preachers had a backbone like a sawlog, and they wasn't afraid to preach on sin.
Amen.
We are quickly moving away from that. I grew up in a world, my friend, that my daddy taught me right is right and wrong is wrong.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
What society today calls it a love affair, God calls it adultery.
Amen.
Come on. Society calls it an alternate lifestyle, God calls it sodomy. Society calls it alcoholism, and the Bible calls it drunkenness. If alcoholism is a disease, it's the only disease I know you can get out of a bottle. Say amen. Some folks will go out on Saturday night and they'll get an old, some of these young people don't know what I'm talking about, and they'll get a bottle of Old Crow. How many old timers know what Old Crow is? Raise your hand. I can tell. They'll go out, sis, and they'll get a bottle of Old Crow, and they'll drink Old Crow all night long on a Saturday night, and then they'll get up on Sunday morning and puke like an old buzzard and look around and say, "Man, what a good time we had." Oh, listen, and I'm going to tell you something. You never met a good time till you met Jesus. And society will change. Society says it's a mother's choice. God says
It's murder.
Amen.
Society says one thing and God says another. My friend, I want to tell you, as old Bob Jones Sr. used to say, do right until the stars fall out of heaven. Hey, listen, in our world today, mamas and daddies, we and grandparents, we need to be teaching that right is right and wrong is wrong, regardless of what people say, regardless of what the school was trying to teach you, regardless of what everybody else is saying. It is still by the Bible if it's right, and if it's wrong, it's still wrong.
Amen.
Some people say old-fashioned hellfire damnation preaching is outdated. I want to tell you this morning, I think we need to return to some of them old paths.
Amen.
Someone told my son recently, I'll leave it at this, they just said, churches like your daddy are dying. Honey, I want to tell you something. Our problem in America today is that we got churches today that don't have a breath of God, no Holy Ghost conviction. Those are the ones that's packing up and closing up. I want to tell you something. What we need today is some more old-fashioned gospel preaching. We need some old men of God that'll stand up and say, thus saith the Lord God, and stand and preach against sin. Oh, listen, we need to turn this nation back to God. Last of all, time will never change the second coming. Now, let me tell you where I'm at. First of all, let me give you a couple of scriptures. John 14:3, I will come again. Jesus said that. Y'all believe that Bible right there you got in your hand?
Amen.
Here's what 2 Peter says. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. There are some today, and I'm preaching from personal experience. Now listen to me. There are some today that will tell you that Jesus isn't coming back again. I have, Brother Freeman, I have talked to some of these people. Some of these people say, now let me tell you where I stand. I am a premillennial, pre-tribulations. I believe the next greatest thing on God's time calendar is the rapture of the church.
Amen.
That's what this church was founded on. That's what I am. And we're in conjunction. Say amen right there.
Amen.
But there are some today that have changed their beliefs. There are some churches that have changed their beliefs. I've talked to some people that say this, Brother Steve. They say they have this, I use this big fancy word, you don't, but it's called a preterist. Now, we are a futurist. We believe that everything is still yet to come. We believe that the rapture is still yet to come. We believe the second coming is still yet to come. We believe the tribulation is still yet to come. We believe the white throne judgment is still yet to come. We believe that all the plagues in the tribulation is still yet to come. But there are some people that say it's already happened. They say in 70 A.D., when Jerusalem fell, that it all mysteriously happened right then and there. I don't believe that. It's still, listen, there are those today. Since there are some preachers that I used to associate with that now they don't believe in the rapture. They've changed. They've gone from an independent Baptist to a Reformed Baptist. And they say that the church is going to go through part of the tribulation. Honey, I want to tell you something. When the tribulation starts and you want to stick around, help yourself. I'm going to be out of here.
Yes. Amen.
But time will never change the second coming. Y'all believe that he's coming back again? I believe he's coming back again. I believe, yes, sir. Somebody said soon. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. And I believe he's coming back again. I close with this story. So many years ago, there was a preacher friend, or a preacher I knew, and he pastored up in the mountains. He had a 38 Ford, I believe, what he had. And it was his custom to go out and pick up people and bring them to church. He had two little old ladies that he'd go out and pick up. One day, Brother Steve, he said he was out driving down through the hills and the hollers, and he saw this long dirt road. And he said, I wonder if there's anybody lived down into that dirt road. He turned down that dirt road and he drove down to the end of that dirt road. When he got down there was a little old shack of a house. The yard had been swept clean. Yeah, any of y'all remember? Mom and Grandma used to do that. Yeah, y'all, they'd take the broom out there and they'd sweep the yard.
Amen.
Yeah, they'd sweep the yard. I mean, there wasn't no grass growing, but they'd sweep that yard. He said that the yard had been swept. He pulled up there. He said by the time he got there to the house, all of a sudden a big old burly guy with overalls on walked out of the front porch of the house. And he said, sir, I'm the preacher down here at the Baptist church here in town. I just out visiting today and I thought I'd go down here and see if there'd anybody live down here who'd like to go to church. I'd come down and pick them up. He said, preacher, I appreciate the offer. He said, but a man in my kind of line of work, I just don't feel like I ought to go to church. He said, I'm a moonshiner. He said, now you can ask my wife. And so they called his wife out there. She said, I appreciate the invitation. If my husband would go, I'd go too. But because he won't go, I guess I'll just stay. He said, well, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. He almost turned around and left. And he said, is there anybody else? They said, we got a little boy. He said, well, if you'd call him out here, I'd like to ask him if he'd like to go to church. And so they called him out. His name was Smokey. Little red head, freckle face. Said he'd come out there, bib overalls, barefooted. Preacher looked at Smokey and said, son, I'm a preacher down here at the Baptist church. Would you like to go to church? He said, I sure would, preacher, but I don't have no way. He said, that's not a problem. I'll come pick you up. He said, you promise? He said, I promise. He said, cross your heart. Cross my heart. He said, hope to die? Yeah. He said, okay, I'll go. So he said, the next Sunday, the preacher went by him. He got the two little old ladies, got them in the car, turned down that long dirt road and went down all the way to the end of it. And there, standing on that doorstep, was that little boy in the washed overalls, still barefooted. Yeah. He got in that car. They went to church. Preacher preached that morning. And he took the two ladies home and he took Smokey home. He got down to Smokey's house. He got ready to let him out. He said, son, would you like to come back to church tonight? He said, I sure would, preacher. He said, but I don't have a way. He said, well, that's not a problem. I'll come get you. He said, do you promise? He said, I promise. He said, cross your heart. Cross my heart. Hope to die? Yeah, I'll come get you. He said, all right, I'll be ready. So he said that night, he went down that dirt road. And he got down there, and sure enough, Smokey was ready to go. Got him in the car and took him. And he said, he took him to church. And when he got home that night, he said, son, would you like to come to church Wednesday night? He said, I sure would, preacher, but I don't have a way. He said, that's not a problem. I'll come pick you up. He said, do you promise? He said, I promise. He said, cross your heart. He said, cross my heart. Hope for that? Yes, sir. He said, I'll be ready. Sure enough, Wednesday night came. He come down there and got him and took him to church. When after Wednesday night, he said to Smokey, son, would you like to go to church next Sunday? He said, I sure would, preacher. But he said, I don't have a way. He said, that's not a problem. I'll come pick you up. He said, do you promise? I said, I promise. Cross your heart? Cross my heart. Hope for that? He said, now, son, let's settle something right here now. He said, if I tell you that I will come and pick you up, I will come and get you. He said, you promise? He said, I promise. He said, so the little boy never asked him again. He said, about 2-3 weeks later, Smokey walked the aisle. He got saved. Amen. He'd take him home, go pick him up. Take him home, go pick him up.
One Wednesday night, big storm come through the mountains, knocked out the power. When the preacher went down to the post office, the postman said, "Preacher, you better tell the people to bring their kerosene lanterns tonight, because there's no power." So the preacher said, "All right." He said that night, he went down, picked up those two little old ladies, and he started down to get Smokey. He said he got down that dirt road. He said it had been storming and raining. He said he looked, and then two little ladies in the back seat, they're just joshing around. He's going down that dirt road the best he could, and he got down to a place to where a tree had fell across the road, and he slammed on brakes. He looked at those two little ladies, and he said, "Well, I don't reckon Smokey will be going to church tonight." He turned around. He said as soon as he got to the church parking lot, he said, "The Holy Ghost of God then convicted him." He said, "You made that little boy a promise." He let them two little ladies out, and he told his song leader, he said, "Y'all go ahead and start service." He said, "I got to go get Smokey." He said, "You'll never make it, preacher."
Woo!
He said, "You'll never make it." He said, "I got to try." And he said, "I went down, I had that 38 Ford, and I went down that long dirt road, and I got to that tree, and I turned that 38 Ford into a tractor, and I went out across that plowed field, got back up on that road, got down to that house. It was already dark, but when the light shined up on that house, there was a little red-headed, freckle-faced boy standing on the front porch with a pair of big overalls on, and he was just a crying." That preacher walked, reached over and opened the door. Smokey ran, jumped in that car, buried his head against the preacher's shoulder, started patting him on the knee. He said, "Preacher, I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come."
Amen.
He said, "Mom and Daddy said only a fool would be out on a night like this." He said, "But I knew you'd come." And that preacher said, "Holy Ghost of God reminded him the promise that Jesus said, I will come again." And is this day of soothsayers, brother, from the time I've been called to preach, that was 45 years ago, a lot has changed. But I want to tell y'all something today. If I get to heaven before y'all do, guess what? I'm just going to be waiting, because one of these days, he's coming back. One of these days, the dead in Christ, they're going to be risen. My mom and daddy's coming out of the grave. My sister's coming out of the grave. All those that I preach their funeral that's saved by the good grace of God, they're coming out of the grave. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Amen. Time will never change that fact. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Piano, organ, guitar. Do you know him today? Do you know him? Do you know him?